This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
BT and Sal back on the Fan, down with the King. Topic of the day, is it 12 o'clock already, BT?
It's flying, bro.
It is flying by. Obviously, the Yankees changing their near 50-year-long facial hair policy. We heard from Hal Steinbrenner, courtesy of Yes Network, Brian Cashman as well. In case you missed it, check it out on the free Odyssey app. But a new day, BT, in Yankee land as they change the policy. They evolve here. I think it's a win-win for everybody. The only thing so far that's bothered me was Hal's comments on the money. But aside from that, the main topic has, of course, been the facial hair change. I think it's long overdue and much welcome for the New York Yankees organization.
It's time. And listen, they were asked a bunch of times, hey, has it ever prevented you from getting a specific player? And their answer, both Brian Cashman and Hal Steinbrenner, was no. But, you know, then they went into some detail like, well, you know, CeCe expressed some reluctance. And, you know, this guy we were looking at as a non-roster spring invite, he, you know, had some, you know, little resistance. And we decided to go against that move. And, you know, Pettit and Clemens didn't want to really shave back in the day, but they did. They conformed. So I'm sure that at some level this has trickled into being a bit of a disadvantage for the Yankees. And it's one thing when it sets you above your peers, which I think it did for a while because it was nice uniform, nice tight, nice clean look. When it becomes a bit of a detriment and it's clearly antiquated, you got to get rid of it. Credit to the Yanks.
Yeah, you want to make players more comfortable. You want to make, you know, like we talked about it, feel good, play good, all that stuff. But if you can't feel comfortable out there, maybe it does impact your performance. And again, I'm not saying it's a huge deal, but there was clearly something to where players didn't want to be a part of the Yankee organization or were hesitant to be a part of the Yankee organization with that arrogance maybe or that real strict rules type stuff. And now it's opened up a little bit while still remaining disciplined, which I think is a big key. You know, Hal referenced that saying he talked to the captains and leaders of his team, Judge, Stanton, Cole, and it is important to, while you can grow facial hair, you also want to remain disciplined and understand what it means to be a Yankee. There is still something special to that. That's not all gone now just because they said, hey, you know what, you could grow a beard.
100%. No, that'll never go away. It's just going to be, I think maybe the new chapters of Yankee history will be interpreted a little bit differently. But let's face it, if you don't start adding to the championships, then there's really not a whole lot to interpret because that's the bottom line interpretation. And real fast on this, Sal, I know he didn't have a good year, but there was a reason why with the Yankees got Verdugo and certainly Jazz, who played a lot better than Verdugo, I was excited about that. Like, I too often the Yankees have been too corporate, you know. Corporate's good sometimes in the boardroom.
Maybe that's the right word.
Yeah, it's not good when you're trying to and you're you know slogging through a five, six month season that becomes very arduous and very repetitive after a while. You need some, you know, loose or jagged edges out there, whether it's the chains, whether it's the tats, whether it's the energy, whether it's the bounce, whether it's the dynamic. And you all know what I mean by that. That's good. You need that. So this is just another little ability to individualize and show some, I don't know, flair is the right word, but be comfortable. And the modern man, I mean, the beards are as prevalent, I think, as they've ever been in the ever, I think.
Think about what we're talking about. It's a game. Baseball is a game. I know it's a profession and there are sponsors and all stuff. You're going to be professional, but it's a game. And in a game, The idea is, obviously the idea is to win, but you want to have fun while doing it. Certain rules and restrictions are like could take away from some of the fun. If I'm a player and I want to grow my facial hair out and show my personality and have more fun, and they're saying I can't, I want to maybe go somewhere where it's more fun. Corporate level stuff is great for corporate level things.
Yes.
Not baseball games.
Yeah.
We're a sports talk show. Like, imagine they went by our office and were like, hey, you got to take down these posters of Doc and Daryl and Donnie.
Hey, just leave Donnie up. We're good.
Yeah.
Leave
take down the posters because it looks like a kid's room. It does look like a kid's room.
That's why we like it.
Guess what? We're sports talk show. I was like,
kids.
It's supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
And that kind of environment. You don't want corporate type thing. So it's a baseball game. We know why they were implemented, but I do think after 50 years or nearly 50 years, it was the right time to change things. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Angelo's on Staten Island. What's up, Angelo?
Good afternoon, guys. Great show. So I was texting with my friend. We're both in our 50s. He lives in Florida now, and he was saying that George is going to be rolling over in his grave. But I think that Cash and Hal kind of cleared it up. I think the way it's going to be is fine. And, you know, I think George would be okay with it. But I wanted to ask BT another question, something similar about Yankee policy.
Okay.
What do you think about, they had the chance last year to do it. There's a big thing like when I go to Yankee Stadium and I see names on jerseys, it drives me crazy, right?
Yep.
Don't touch the pinstripes. What do you think, and I'll just listen, about names on the road jerseys only? We already have billboard stuff on these jerseys. Uh-huh. What do you think about names, road jerseys only? Don't touch the pinstripes out. I just want to get your take on that. Have a great day, guys.
You got it. Now, listen, the pinstripes are, you know, the most revered uniform that we know, but so are the Yankee road grays. I mean, you know, Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth wore those. So, no, I'm not looking to flip everything off its axis here. You know, the hair policy, that's one thing for sure, and I've been a proponent of that for a while, but like, why keep going? Like, I don't know that the lack of names, you want to use the word individuality again. That's clearly the most individual way of expression, like your actual birth name. Like, I get that. I don't see the need to do that. That would actually bother me. Eventually, I'd get over it. I wouldn't kick and scream. I don't think they need to do that,
though. We brought it up earlier. I asked you that exact question earlier. How about the road uniforms with the name on the back? I would, now, again, I didn't grow up a Yankee fan, although I do understand the history just as well as anybody else, but I would be more open to having the names on the road uniforms only. Obviously, the home pinstripes, non-negotiable, don't ever think about it. I don't care if it's 100 years from now. Never should a New York Yankee be wearing the name on the back of their jersey. I'll take it a step further. I don't even think there should be the fake ones that are out there that they sell at the stadium. Like, they should stop that. Any Yankee jersey with the name on it, to me, it's not a real jersey. Like, it's fake. The t-shirt stuff, I don't like it. It's just never been for me. I get the people buy it all the time. I don't like it. Just get the number, and then that's it. But maybe the way to, you know, split the difference and evolve a little bit is to do it on the road jerseys. Then think about it. You could have the sales with the jersey that is authentic and legit. The t-shirts would be fine because it's, you know, at least a thing that the Yankees would be doing. I wouldn't touch it at home. I would be open to the idea of it on the road.
Okay, I'm still not. So, but you say split the difference. Like, the reason why the Yankees had to amend these facial hair policies is because it was unattractive to other players, and it was, I think, you know, on some level limiting what they could do. The talent pool is maybe slightly diminished. You brought up CC, even though CC rode with it. Some other names that we've given you, but if the uniform policy is not a deterrent to non-Yankees maybe eventually becoming Yankees, why would you change it? Just to make more money?
Well, I think because maybe fans like it more to make more money, just to get with the times a little bit. Is there any other team that, like, I know other teams, like the Giants don't have the names on the back of their home jerseys, right? But they do it on the road, I'm pretty sure.
Red Sox do the same thing, or no? Red Sox do. I think the Red Sox have it on there.
I thought at home.
Not positive. They might not.
I forget the exact teams.
I'm not looking to recreate the wheel here. Right. I'm going to stop at the facial hair. I'm good.
Right.
I'm good for today.
But what's the harm in having the names?
There's no harm, but why the impetus to change? Like, that's what I'm asking. Like, what? I can see, hey, if you don't change the facial hair policy and acknowledge that a lot of men have beards now and facial hair is appealing, it might prevent you from doing X, Y, and Z. I don't see the need to change the uniform policy.
Yeah,
therefore, I'm not into it.
I guess there is no need, but think about where we were with the Yankees versus where we are. I mean, it's not like every single Yankee now is a household name and you know the numbers. It's not Mantle and DiMaggio and Gehrig and Ruth. And, you know, we're many years from that.
Do you mean for a recognition thing?
I mean, maybe. And like I said, jersey sales. Like, well, okay, let me ask you this. Why do the Yankees sell jerseys and shirts with the names on the back then.
Because everybody else has the one without, so they make more money. Yeah. My son's got a few. I don't love them. I don't love them.
Well, and here's why I don't love them. Because the Yankees don't wear them. So to me, like, I always wanted as close to authentic as possible. Yeah. There's no such thing as a Yankee jersey with Judge on the back. It's 99, and that's it. But, you know, so, but if they're selling the T-shirts, the jerseys, or fake jerseys, replica jerseys with names on the back, then why not just wear them half the time on the road? Or maybe a new alternate when they do evolve and catch up.
An alternate's fine. I wouldn't push back on an alternate. And by the way, I'm more with, I hear you. I would be more in line with, you know what? Sal's right. Let's be consistent. I would rather them get rid of the jerseys or the jerseys with the names on the back at the stadium than actually do it for the real players.
Fair enough. Yeah, that's fair enough, too. I'm fine.
They won't.
Yeah, as long as there's some kind of consistency. And by the way, it's not a big deal to me. Either way, I really don't care. And I do think it's cool that the Yankees don't have the names and have stuck to that tradition. But if I were going to open up, I wouldn't see any harm in making it with the road jerseys. Mike is in Brooklyn. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Mike?
You mentioned, you know, what's the reason or there's been a turn from back in the day, no longer hippies. I think, and it's been written before, that the post 9/11 special operators going into Afghanistan wearing beards and now men, you know, think it's manly, that kind of thing, I think is diffused into the culture. And so years later, that's where we're at. I also think it's a triumph of the individual brand over the Yankee brand or over the team brand. And I'd like to get a sense of what, you know, guys like Mattingly and Jeter think. I didn't know this, but apparently Mattingly was taken out of a lineup one day.
Yeah, we talked about that. Stump Merrill. Yeah. Yep.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Hey, you got, I wouldn't have to cut you off there, but yeah. And that was it 89? I want to say it was 89. I think it was 89. And, yeah, I mean, it was on The Simpsons. You know the Simpsons episode where they messed around with Donnie's hair, right?
Yes, I remember the Simpsons episode. Was there something with Thurman Munson as well?
I don't know about Thurman.
Okay.
I never saw Thurman play.
I remember.
I remember the night. This is the only thing I actually remember.
Dove was saying, because there were Thurman. I'm sorry, BT. Dove was saying what?
There were pictures of Thurman with a beard in uniforms. They were going back to those pictures.
Okay. But did they predate the policy?
No, because the policy. Well, yes, because he was there in the early 70s. The policy was in 75. Well, wait, hold on. George bought the team in 72. When did. I think Thurman got there in 72 or 72. Right around there.
I think so.
He was definitely there before 75. You know, I never saw Thurman play. The only thing about Thurman that I remember, and it's crazy that this is the only thing that I remember, was the night that they played August 2nd, 79, when they honored him after he died. And I remember sitting on my parents' bed, and we were watching that. And they had the empty home plate. And then Bobby Mercer, of all people, his best friend, you know, had the base hit. And, you know, Billy was like, hey, do you want to play tonight? He's like, I'm playing. Yeah, and they all flew on George's plane, and they went to the funeral. You know, Lou Piniella and Mercer and Thurman were best friends. But I never saw Thurman play, so I just know he had a thick mustache. I don't know about the other stuff.
No, I didn't remember if there was some kind of issue with him. Didn't him and George have some kind of...
Yeah, there was always friction. But even with Nettles couldn't stand George, and Goose couldn't stand George.
I didn't know if it had anything to do with the facial hair, because obviously Thurman has that, you know, the sideburns and that big, thick mustache that he had.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. At some point, we'll get into the hockey game that took place last night. Also, I have to respond to one of our colleagues. Like, this continues to happen.
I don't know why everybody's going at you here, buddy.
I don't get it.
He's just a nice guy, easygoing guy. Why are you becoming a target these days,
Sal? Trying to do my job, having some fun, and then the morning show comments on something. Now, maybe we started that okay, so I didn't need to further it. Well, I mean, I was trying to do a sports talk show. I see a sports debate, sports argument, right? We're having a sports argument. All right, you fight back. I didn't think it was a big deal. Yeah. Whatever. They responded in their manner. Okay, so we move on. Then the afternoon show yesterday, somehow I get dragged into the game of Jeopardy that they're doing, and Mirage calls me out and challenges me.
He actually called you out?
I guess.
On the air?
We'll play some of the audio there. Yeah, he's trying to challenge me in Jeopardy.
Wait, Dove, I know we'll do this later, but we actually have this? He did it on the air?
Yeah, they did it on the air. So we'll have some fun with that, and maybe I'll give Marash an answer to his challenge at some point. We'll continue with your calls when we come back, 888-808-1019.
When you get a haircut, get a barber you have known.
BT and Sal back on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. I'll respond to Maresh's challenge, BT, at 120. I'll have my definitive answer. I have to give this some thought, but we'll respond back at that time.
And just so I'm clear, the gist of his challenge is again, like a lack of intellect?
Right.
Is that the thing that's still going on? Is that what this is?
Gio called me intellectually bankrupt,
yep.
And then Maresh was, in fact, bankrupt in his Jeopardy game that they played on the Evan and Tiki show. And I did make a comment to him, like, oh, I saw him in the newsroom yesterday. I was like, oh, they called me intellectually bankrupt. Meanwhile, you get a zero.
And he actually got a zero?
He lost 800 to nothing or something like that with Evan. So I was like, that's where it came from.
Okay, I got you. So since you are bankrupt intellectually, yeah. I doubt you saw the story because you only pay attention right. to the Mets and the Yankees, apparently. But did you see that Hooters is filing for bankruptcy? You see the story?
No.
Okay. Now, you know the Hooters. I think it's long gone. Remember the Hooters across the street from the Coliseum? Remember on exit M4, Meadowbrook?
I don't know if I've been there, but I think I have driven past it, yes.
You've been to a Hooters in your life.
I dated a Hooters girl, yes.
You did?
2015.
Fairly recent.
Oh, yeah, before I met my wife.
Was this the Hooters in Manhattan?
No, she was in Hooters in Jersey, I think.
Really? Yeah. Did you meet her in Hooters?
I'll show you a picture after.
Wow. How do I?
No, I did not meet her in Hooters.
Story.
Yeah.
I want to hear more.
Who cares
about bankruptcy? Did you meet her in the restaurant or just meet her elsewhere?
No.
Okay, got you. Yeah, you tell me off the air. So, anyway, listen, I mean, the Hooters wings, you either love them or you don't. I happen to like them. You know, you get a couple of pitchers of beer after a round of golf. But I did see this, and I saw that Paige Sporadic, we know Paige,
yes.
has donated her time to help maybe
bring Hooters back,
alleviate some of the financial pressures on the great establishment of Hooters. But something else, and this is a very little known Hooters fact that I doubt that you even heard of, let alone remember, and I actually did it, like the lunatic that I was. So, in 2002 or 2003, they had an ill-fated, very shortly timed Hooters airline. Do you remember when Hooters launched their own airline, dude?
No, but I can't imagine flying on it.
Oh, I did. Now, their premise was, it was actually very smart. And we didn't go...
The stewardesses were... Okay.
We didn't go a couple of years because of COVID, but me and my buddies have been going to Myrtle Beach. I've probably been to Myrtle Beach 20 times to go play golf, right? And we would always fly down, whether a Delta, sometimes Spirit when we were broke, no money, whatever. You just get down there and hopefully you find a way to get home, which somehow after what we did down there, we actually did. Long story short, for about a year, I don't think it was more than a year or two, Hooters had its own airline from Newark to Myrtle Beach.
Wow.
Because they were serving the golf community, going down, boys trip, whatever. I don't know what we thought, this is me and my best friend, my best man and my best friend. I don't know what we thought we were signing up for, but I think there was going to be an orgy or something online.
What the hell?
I don't know what we thought it was going to be.
What kind of show is it?
I don't know, but we're like, Hooters there. We are in, man. This thing is going to be absolutely bonkers. It's going to be wild.
Was there wings and beer on the flight?
Dude, it was the worst. Now, the stewardesses were Hooters waitresses.
Okay.
But it was horrendous. Well, just one of the many bad decisions, I guess, they have made to lead them to the brink of bankruptcy and Chapter 11.
So does that mean that they're going out of business?
Just got to reallocate some funds some things legally and blah, blah, blah.
God, I've been
maybe
one of those.
Somebody parachutes in and helps them, like Paige Sporadic, but it's not, I don't know that they're going to close.
I feel like I haven't been on one of those in many, many years.
You want to know the last time I went?
When? Hops going road trip in Miami.
I don't even know where they are anymore.
Me neither.
The last time I went, guess who I went with?
Oh. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
I'm gonna love this answer. Who?
My son.
Oh, what? I'm thinking it's somebody you worked with, like, oh, Hurley.
No, my son. He was like 3, and it was right before COVID. I went to watch the Jets game. Yeah.
At Hooters with young Colt?
Yeah.
Teaching him early.
Well, teaching him to be a gentleman.
What did mommy think of that?
See some of the world.
What did mommy think of that?
Mommy said, have fun. Mommy knows daddy's coming home to mommy.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-88. What was their facial hair policy? Back to the calls we go. Enzo's calling from New Haven. Yes, what's up, Enzo?
Yo, Sal and BT. What's up, guys? Huge fan of the show.
Thank
you. What's up, man?
I just want to start off by saying I'm 30, and I honestly don't know one person my age that's clean shaven unless they're in the military. But you guys were discussing about who potentially could have been making a fuss about it in the clubhouse. I know Steinbrenner was alluding to it a couple times. I honestly think it was one of the guys that could have potentially been his verdugo. I know he was making a big fuss about shaving. I know he's got some skin stuff going on, so that potentially could have been it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, Enzo, and thank you for the call. They didn't reference him by name. What I will say, I saw Boone, a comment from him. It says I can't pull it up real quick. It was, I'll paraphrase, but basically saying if we were to lose one player because of it, it would be too many. It's just time for the change. Now, I don't know if I want to go back. They didn't. They had Verdugo. Was that a part of it? I mean, he never looked right to me as a Yankee. Never looked comfortable. Maybe it was the clean-shaven face. Mm-hmm. I don't know about the stuff with his hands. And remember,
he had some sort of allergic reaction. Yeah. I remember.
Yeah. I mean, so I don't know, but maybe he wasn't able to be comfortable. We'll see what happens with him now. He's with Pittsburgh, Verdugo? Where did he go?
Where'd Verdugo go? I forgot,
I don't know why. I thought he signed with Pittsburgh for a year. Did he not sign?
I thought he signed.
He's still a free agent.
He's still a free agent.
Where did they get Pittsburgh from? Wow, Verdugo's still out there, huh? No, I thought the Mets were looking at him at one point, too.
They were.
Our best fit, the Royals. How about that?
Okay, well, whatever. Wherever he goes next, we'll see what kind of facial hair he grows out there. But I don't know how many times the Yankees themselves, Hal or Cashman or Boone, have to say it. This is not just one player. It's not about Vlad. It's not about the Mets. It's not about Verdugo. I mean, they reference C.C. Sabathia, who hasn't been a Yankee in, 15
years? And Clemens.
Yeah, okay, right. So going back before that. So yeah. It's a mix of current, former players, and just evolving with the time.
You know, it's very funny. The last call said that he's 30 and that he doesn't know anybody that is not clean-shaven unless they're in the military. So when I was young, to me, facial hair represented age, older.
Right.
And it's funny, I do notice there are a lot of, even seniors and juniors in high school, if they grow facial hair, everybody's in a rush to look older. Isn't it funny? There's a lot of 20-something-year-olds out there that have the beard and rock the facial hair, and it's not gray, so it's a good look. And depending upon the texture of the hair, you can do different things, whatever, and it's cool. But everybody's in a rush to look older when they're younger, and then when you get older, you're trying to stop the process of getting older and look a little bit younger.
And I do think now we've accepted our fate maybe a little bit better, where more people are going with the salt and pepper look, if you have 100% grays in there, as opposed to where it used to be, oh my God, there's a gray, let me dye the hair. And maybe that's different for men versus women. I don't know, some women embrace the gray as well or dye their hair gray.
Dude, I had a couple of episodes, I don't know what I was thinking. And I mean, I don't know, but you know me well enough. I'm not incredibly vain. I'm not really vain. But this is going back probably 9 years ago. I don't know what I was thinking. I used some sort of facial dye on my beard to get rid of some of the grays. Mm-hmm. And I went on TV with it regularly. Mm-hmm. Dude, it looked like, my sister called me up. She said, what? You look like you're wearing shoe polish. You look ridiculous. What are you doing?
Good for your sister to call you out on that.
Yeah, she did. And even Jen was like, I don't think it looks that good. And I'm like, no, look how young it makes me. I look like an idiot. I got to show you a picture. It is ridiculous.
I would like to see that. All right, BT and Sal. Let's get one more call before we break. Anthony's in Tom's River, New Jersey. What's up, Ant?
What's up, Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good, Ant. What's happening, buddy?
Yeah, you guys talked earlier, and I totally agree. I've been saying this for years about, like, prospects in baseball. I'm kind of over it. Like, if you can get a proven commodity, go get it. And you guys went down the list. Sal, I know you mentioned a bunch of Yankee prospects that did not pan out. I personally think with this Stanton injury, I think it's worse than they're letting on. Why not kind of do the all-in method again and just try and get Vladimir Guerrero? Now, I know it's in the division, and I know it's tough to do, but, I mean, Vlad is clearly a proven commodity.
Yep.
Money should be no object for the Yankees. And the prospects that you're giving up, I mean, we've gone over it. None of them really pan out outside of Aaron Judge.
Well, Ann, think about this. Now, I'm not saying that I wouldn't do it, but you've got to weigh a couple things here. Thanks for the call. Like, I don't know what kind of massive package it would take to get Vlad now, let alone at the deadline. But if you think you're going to be on the short list of teams that will have, number one, access and his interest and the money to entice him to sign, why give up four or five players now? Like, it's not like the Yankees are going to be a 75-win team. Like, the Yankees should be really good, 90-plus wins, and obviously a crapshoot in the postseason. So they don't need to do it now. Why not just try to buy him and give up no prospects like Lombard and some of these other young kids that they value?
Also, because of the current structure of the Yankees, Goldschmidt here for now and Giancarlo Stanton, like, and that's the caller's point saying, well, Giancarlo, it's worse than we thought and I'm tired of him. Yeah, but he's still here under contract beyond this year. And what are you going to do if and when he comes back healthy if you do have Vlad, Goldschmidt, and Stanton?
Yeah.
Who's moving where? Who's, like, it just doesn't fit.
You could put Vladdy third for a year. I mean,
Well, that's a different. Okay, if he's willing to play third, now you're talking. I mean, now you've got the best scenario where Stanton comes back healthy and you get an impact bat at third base. But you got to make sure that that's the case. Remember, last year they traded for Jazz, thinking he would be a second baseman, moving Gleyber to third. Didn't want to have that. You know, Gleyber didn't end up doing that, so you had Jazz at third. You need to make sure with Vladimir Guerrero Jr., he's okay with playing third. Okay, well, then he would fit. I'm looking at him as a first baseman slash DH. I mean, that's the issue right there. But, and I'm with you, BT. I don't even know if the Yankees have it to give up after the Soto deal. Like, you can't just keep making these trades, especially for guys that aren't locked up. What if you did it again, and then you lost them to the Mets again, which is very realistic?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why the Yankees weren't going to give up Luis Gil for Tucker, even though I said they should.
Yeah.
You know, that Soto situation burned them. They gave up, Kings, obviously, very good. Oh, gosh, Yoka, whatever, some other stuff. Yeah, all right,
but just
whatever.
The quantity.
Yeah, no, I got you.
The amount of arms that you give up.
Yeah.
It does.
It catches up at some point.
It depletes the farm system to a lower level, to a different level.
Yep.
Regardless of how they pan out in the big league. So now you're going to do that again for another guy who's in a walk year? The move to do it would have been a Tucker.
You could buy him or just try to buy Tucker. I mean, if the Cubbies fall out of it, I would think that'll be on the table for not just the Yankees, but all the other teams at the deadline. And same with Toronto, if they fall apart and Vlad's like, all right, you know I'm not resigning, start moving me. I mean, both of those guys conceivably could be dealt this summer.
I think they're getting Tucker, myself.
As opposed to Central
Vlad.
Casting, just get him at the stadium. Yeah. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019 on number. All right, so Sal's retort to Marash's intellectual call-out. What is going on at the station?
BT and Sal back on the Fan on this Friday. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We've been talking about the Yankee facial hair policy all day long. We've heard from Hal Steinbrenner. We've heard from Brian Cashman. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. What'd you think of the game last night? We'll get back to those calls, BT, and continue the conversation. I'll address Marash coming up at 1:20. I'll respond to his challenge. What'd you think of the hockey game last night? Everybody's making a big deal about it, USA versus Canada. Where'd you stand on that?
Didn't watch a second. I didn't watch a second, Sal.
I watched a little more than that, but let me tell you my
story. I didn't
know
we lost until this morning.
Yeah,
I had
either.
No interest. I just didn't.
I did. I was watching at the final 5 minutes and seeing what was happening there. Then once it went to overtime, I went to bed. I'm not going to stick with it for a game that I really don't care about the result. So like you, I found out this morning. Here's what bothered me. I flipped it on yesterday as I was doing some stuff. I told you I got to pack and get ready. I actually had sports night last night, so I was trying to work for SNY as well and get prepared for that. So I flipped the game on and I called in the first intermission.
Okay.
And I hear, I believe it was Matthew Tkachuk, but I'm not 100% sure who it was. And whoever it was, maybe I shouldn't say Tkachuk, whoever it was, I saw a player that was playing in the game.
What team? Us or them?
I'm not sure.
I got you. Okay.
I'm not 100%. Yeah, it just shows you I was like half.
Yeah.
But what caught my attention was what he said.
What'd he say?
And he's not the only one who said it, but when I saw it, it like touched a different chord. the player playing in the game. And by the way, Hoff, maybe you could just confirm that for me. It was whoever was interviewed on camera in the first intermission, between first and second period, I want to say. But anyway, said that, oh, I wouldn't miss this game for the world. This is right up there with any Game 7, or even better. Even more meaningful than Game 7.
Yes, he did.
Quote, even more meaningful than any Game 7. And that's not the only player to say that. It's why I took issue with it earlier in the week. My issue is not with the tournament itself. It's that the players, whether it's the World Baseball Classic or now this Four Nations thing, the players openly care more about this than they do about the Stanley Cup or being a Ranger or whatever team they play for or being a Met or a Yankee in the WBC. They care more about representing their country. It was Brady. Who was it? Brady Tkachuk? There you go. So it was one of the Tkachuks. Brady Tkachuk said that. You have the exact quote up there, or you just saw that he was the one who was being interviewed?
He said, I never experienced anything like this, that in his goal in the first period.
Yep.
And then he said, went on to say, I would miss this game for the world. This is basically, I mean, guys are talking as much as you can emulate a Game 7 or even bigger than that. So there's not a chance in hell that I was missing this one.
He did say, or even bigger. Yeah. That's offensive to consumers right there.
Yes! You nailed it. I take offense to that. As a sports fan, World Baseball Classic, I took offense to it. I'm not saying you can't enjoy it. It's not for me. I don't care about it. But I take offense when the players are openly, and in this case, Tkachuk is saying it. But flat out, like, I could watch with my own eyes and tell you that guys played harder in the World Baseball Classic than they do in baseball's regular season. I could watch with my own eyes and tell you that the intensity level for USA-Canada was higher than it is in the regular season in the NHL. Then when you hear a player say it, even better than a Game 7, I take offense to that as an NHL fan or as a Major League Baseball fan.
And here's one of the big differences between team sport and individual stuff. I'm going to give you an example. I brought up the Ryder Cup the other day.
Yes.
Now, one of the knocks on the United States Ryder Cup team has been that they just don't have that solidarity and that togetherness that the European team has. For whatever reason, the European does a better job of maybe suppressing egos and constructing a team. Rory has talked about this. All the great Europeans have said this, right? And America has gotten better, but it was a problem for a long time. That's not offensive. Like, if Rory says, hey, this is more important to me than winning the U.S. Open or the Open Championship, might raise a few eyebrows, but it's not like it's offensive to a fan base because you go to Royal Birksdale or wherever you go to Bethpage or you go to Wingfoot. Yeah, you go to watch Rory and Tiger and all these guys, but it's not like it's Rory's home venue. So when it's an individual sport like golf or tennis, I'm fine with that. When it's a team sport, that goes against the grain of everything we're reaching into our pocket to pay for and subsidize. That's ridiculous.
Or invest our time and emotion into on a nightly basis. It's why I had a problem with the WBC, and it's why, and again, it's not that I have a problem with the tournament. I have a problem with players caring more about that than they do about their regular jobs. And what we care about most, like, I value the World Series trophy, and I think the majority of people do. I value the Stanley Cup. I think the majority of, you know, sports fans do. Now, I know there were a lot of fans who cared about USA versus Canada, bragging rights within the country, whatever, between the two countries.
Yeah, like, did you see Trudeau's tweet, by the way?
Yeah, I did. And I'll tell you something else. I did see
that bothered. That's where, yeah. That's the first time where I always wanted to win. But when I saw the tweet from Trudeau, I'm like, man, I wish we would have mopped the floor with them last night.
Now, you know me. I'm not political at all.
Yep.
Doesn't mean I'm not prideful of the country I live in. But just because Canada won, so what does that mean now? Canada's better than the U.S.? It's not. Like, we all know.
Better in hockey than us, but as a nation.
Okay, but they're better in hockey. That's fine. But that's not what the debate was.
I hear you.
And so even me, when I saw that tweet, even me, I was like, oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
It got my attention, and I'm not even political. I don't get into that nonsense. So then the second part of this whole thing, aside from being offended that players would care more about this otherwise meaningless, made-up tournament than the actual NHL season and push for the Stanley Cup, do you think it's healthy to have booing of anthems? And this is U.S.-Canada. We're not talking about
back in the day. Yeah, okay. I hear you. Yeah, it's different.
It's Canada. Like, there should be some peace here. And we're booing the anthem.
Yes.
They're booing our anthem.
Yeah.
You got their prime minister, you know, tweeting nasty stuff or whatever.
And like, for those who missed the tweet, what Prime Minister Trudeau said was, you can't, and I paraphrase, I don't have it in front, but it was short. And it was something like, you can't take our country and you can't take our game. Something like that.
Okay, like.
But I wonder how much of the additional energy, even though, I mean, how much of the energy around this particular matchup is about, is heightened because of what's going on, whether it's right or
wrong.
Well,
that's what I mean.
I don't know if this is a couple of years from now and, you know, hopefully things are different between the United States and Canada, whatever. Is it the same animosity? Is it the same anger? Is it the same booing of the respective anthems? I don't think it is.
That's why I ask you if it's healthy. One more part to this thing. Let's say, now I know Colt is not a hockey fan. My nephew Joey.
He goes to Devils games, though.
Okay,
but
there you go.
But not like Joey's a hockey player.
Well, Joey's
player.
A big hockey fan, and I haven't even talked to him about this. I know that he's into it, and I know he's rooting for the U.S., but he loves Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
Had a personal experience with McDavid, like at the Islander game years ago. McDavid gave him a puck. Loves Connor McDavid. And let's just say Connor McDavid is a Ranger one day.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a Ranger fan in the U.S.,
yep.
And Connor McDavid is playing for Team Canada in one of these events.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you rooting for?
And scores a goal like he did last night to win it 3-2.
Who are you rooting for?
It's got to be country over player. It's got to be.
In
that situation,
I personally,
or you could be agnostic. Like you just be like, I love the player, and my country didn't win, but I'm going to sleep, and I'm not angry.
Like, would I be rooting against Shesterkin or Soto? Or I wouldn't. Now, again, it's total hypotheticals, and to each their own. Some people would agree with you and say country. For me, I'm going with the player who's on the team that I love and I knew for a long time. If it's a newer player, whatever, maybe the allegiance isn't there yet. I just bring up McDavid. Obviously, he scores the goal and all that stuff. We know about, you know, the magnitude of him and knowing that my nephew loves him, like I'm sure many other youngsters that live in the U.S. love McDavid. But if he played for the Rangers, Islanders, or Devils, wouldn't you?
That's a really good question.
You know what I'm saying?
And Joey's just turned 11, right?
Or think about it with Colt, with Judge.
I hear you.
You know, if Judge is playing for a different country,
obviously. I know what
you're
saying.
You know what
saying? I don't know what Aaron Judge's exact family tree is, you know, represents, but say.
Or whoever. I mean,
But Judge is one of his favorite players. It's not a bad example. Say if he's got some Israeli blood and he can play for Team Israel.
Or Canada.
Exactly. Yeah. Or he's Italian or whatever. I'm also half Italian. So, but maybe that's not the best example. But the point is that I think for somebody like Joey, your nephew, who's an 11-year-old hockey player, massive fan, and he's probably not on social media yet, hopefully not. You know, is he even aware of what's going on between Canada and the United States? Maybe on the most cursory, basic level. But I don't know if he's even up and he watched that goal last night. And Connor McDavid's on the Rangers, his favorite team, and that's his favorite player. That's a tough spot for a kid.
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking through. Like, and I just simplify it as sports fans. We grew up not rooting for the country. The country is separate from sports. Olympics brought that stuff in.
Yes.
Now we're trying to tie in our American sports leagues with representing different countries, and I think it creates more of a divide than anything else. And as a sports fan, you can be torn sometimes, but I do take great offense to players openly admitting that they prefer to play in an exhibition tournament representing their country than they do for the team that's paying them millions of dollars.
I'm with you, dude.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019.